Thank you for joining our podcast. We hope that this message will both teach and encourage you. Here's today's message.
Well, without any further ado, somebody that some of you have seen before in our Treasurers Conference, somebody that I've had the opportunity to sit in meetings with, we've been able to do things with the District Loan Fund, but a minister in his own right, pastored in Oklahoma, has now come to the North Texas District, been here for, what, almost 2 years now? We've been blessed to have him down here south of the Red River. We haven't been able to switch him from maroon and white colors or orange and black colors or whatever it is over to the burnt orange and white yet, or we'll take TCU purple even. But would you welcome to minister to us this morning, Brother Robert Miller. And I'll let you introduce your family as they're a guest with us today. I'm gonna
put that. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate you very much. Testing. There we go. There we go. It's been a while since I've done this, you know, with all the stuff going on. As a guest minister now, my schedule went out the window when all this happened and churches couldn't meet any longer. So I haven't preached in like 3.5 months. So you're in here until at least 1:15, 1:30 today. I'm just kidding. It actually might be like 10:30 because I'll just go really fast. But so good to be with you at Vision Church. My very first staff pastor position when I was called into ministry was at a church named Vision Church in Oklahoma. And so this just brings back great memories to be here. Thanks for the opportunity, Pastor, the invitation. We've had this on the calendar for a while. And so I was glad to see that we could start meeting again and I could be here with you today. Your pastors are such a joy to serve with in our district. Just always just full of life and happiness and smiling all the time. And we do get to play golf together for work sometimes. That's what we call it. It's work the way we play. Just an honor and a privilege to be here today. Have most of my family with me today. My wife, Haley, of 21 years. Is here with me, and three of our four amazing children. I think I have a picture of them maybe to put up there. My 17-year-old, she's at Lakeview today at our North Texas District Campground. Today is the first day of camp, of youth camp, and she works for our youth department, and so she's there checking kids in as they show up for camp today. And so just a little side note, would you pray for our youth these next few weeks? Obviously, with all that's going on, we have all the protocols in place and everything to try to protect our young people. But how many know sometimes a teenager, social distancing is an interesting concept. So pray for our youth these next few weeks and kids as they start camp. And so my oldest, Gabby, she'll be a senior this year. Then we have Isabel, will you wave? She's 10. My favorite son, Samuel, is 8. And our little blonde beauty is just turned 5 last week, so Elena. So that's my family. I'm blessed on this Father's Day to have 4 amazing blessings and an awesome wife. And, you know, I was thinking about I pastored in Oklahoma for many years, and I was thinking about Mother's Day and Father's Day. And it seemed to be the case sometimes on Mother's Day, we just loved on all the ladies, and, you know, it was such a wonderful day, and we loved you, and we gave you gifts. But then Father's Day came around, and it's like we had to, you know, throw all the punches at the dads and all the men, you know, to challenge you. And, you know, today, and I was thinking about that, you know, why did we do that? I don't want to, you know, scare any guys away or anything. And, but just thinking about my story, and that's really what I want to share with you today as an encouragement to you. I have an amazing testimony of what God has done in my life and my family, with my father that I believe it'll be an encouragement to you. It's brought hope and healing to many families, many relationships today. I believe God is still in the miracle business today. Do you believe that? That God is still in the reconciliation business, that God can still restore broken families and broken relationships. And I'm living proof of that today. I believe this. I believe we all have a story that God is writing and that we're living out. And I believe God wants to use our stories to bring glory and honor to Him. That's why we exist, is to bring glory and honor to God in all that we do and how we live for Him. And I believe this, God is a master storyteller. And how many know God is a much better author than we are at our stories? And I believe God is creating stories with all of our lives. And here's the first thing I want to talk about today is that God is the author of our stories. God is the author. He's the finisher of our stories. And I want to read from a scripture today in the book of Psalm 139. And I believe it'll be on the screen to help us as well, or you can turn there. Psalm 139, verse 13. It says, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body, and you knit me together in my mother's womb." A familiar portion of scripture. We hear that part sometimes around baby dedications and things like that. But let's keep reading it. Verse 14. I love this. It says, "Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex." Now, if you have somebody in your life that is extra special, don't nudge them because they're sitting by you. But this is their scripture. "Thank you for making them so wonderfully complex." Okay? That's a joke today. It's the best I got. Just go with me. It says, "Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it." Verse 15, "You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb." I love verse 16. It says, "You saw me before I was ever born." Every day, everybody say every day. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious, listen to this today. How precious are your thoughts about me? They cannot be numbered. There have been low points in my life where I've wondered, and I may be the only one here today that said, "God, are you there? God, do you see me? God, do you know what I'm going through?" And this scripture is that reminder for us today. How precious are his thoughts about you? They cannot be numbered. So let me go into my story just for a moment this morning, and we'll go back to scripture here in a moment. When I was 3 years old, I was an only child by my mom and dad. We were going through a tough financial time, and my dad was in the union. We lived in Southern California. He was a welder in the Boilermaker Union, and they went on strike. And if you're in the union and they go on strike, that means no work, no money. You wait out the negotiations, and this went on for months, and we were in a tough financial position. We were living in a tent in a public campground. Now, in Southern California, that's not too bad because the weather's pretty nice, but we were living next to a vineyard, a grape vineyard, and we were strapped so difficultly financially that my mom would sneak over to the vineyard at night and steal grapes to feed me. And that's how we were living. And so finally my mom said, "Enough is enough. We cannot raise a child like this. If you're not going to get a job, if we can't, you know, make it financially, I'm going to have to move back home." So my mom left my dad with me, and we drove all the way to Oklahoma, and that was the last time I ever talked to my dad. He never called. We never visited. He never sent child support. He never checked in on us, any of those things. It was just a clean separation. And so I had no relationship with my father growing up. So I was an only child by my mom, and I was raised by her. My mom is an amazing mom. She worked so hard. She was a secretary during the day for different businesses, doing financial bookkeeping, and then she was a bartender at night. So she would work 8 to 5, her secretary job, then she would go and work 6 p.m. till 2 in the morning as a bartender, just so I could have the latest and greatest Nike tennis shoes and video games, and, you know, I was playing sports, and so she had to do all those things to keep me with all the latest things. And so I can remember being as young as 8 years old, my son's age now, coming home from school, doing my own homework, making myself dinner, doing my own laundry, doing dishes, putting myself to bed. I had to mature and grow up at a very young age. I was forced to because I was basically on my own while my mom worked so much. And this led my mom to make some decisions that in her eyes were the right decisions. She felt like she couldn't raise a son on her own. She couldn't raise a young man on her own. And so she made some decisions that resulted in my mom being married and divorced 6 times before I was graduated high school. So as you can imagine, different stepdads in my life all the time. Most of those guys she met at the bar, right? So it's not like they started off on the greatest foot of a relationship. None of them were there for me. They weren't there to be a stepfather to me. I was just the kid in the way. You know, that brought a lot of things into our home that I won't go into detail in, but it was just an ugly childhood. I mean, just difficulty after difficulty that was brought into our home. And I look back now, and it's amazing that God's hand was upon me through all of that and really protected me through all those decisions that my mom made. So we didn't go to church. We lived in a trailer park, and our next-door neighbors were music ministers at a Church of Christ. And so every now and then, just so my mom would have a break, I had a drug problem. They would drag me to church, right? You know, and here's what I remember about going to church as a kid. They drove one of those station wagons back then that the third row seat popped up in the back and faced out the back window. Anybody remember those station wagons? So I was the little bratty neighbor kid that they stuck in that third row seat, and this is how I sat going to church for an hour and 15-minute drive every Sunday, just looking out the back window of everybody, you know, passing us. And that's really all I remember about church. I remember they made me sing in some kids' choirs sometimes because they were the music ministers. But at 18 years old, I graduated high school. I worked hard, made good grades, finished high school, and I went and got my first job at a bank. And I had to travel about an hour away from my home in Oklahoma to go to a training class. And when I get to this training class, there was 12 women and me in the class. Now, remember, I don't know God. I don't know Jesus. So I'm like, yes, there's 12 women and one young man in this class, right? I'm liking my chances here. And so our facilitator began the class. She began teaching. And there was one seat open next to me. And next thing you know, you hear some wrangling of a door and some keys and some noise coming through the door. And in came this beautiful Hispanic, dark-haired girl wearing this blue velour jumpsuit. And my first thought was, oh, yeah, there's a seat right next to me. Well, that's now my wife of 21 years who came in and sat next to me, just for the record. Let me set that straight before I go any further. But she was a good AG church girl, went to church, Assembly of God Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And so we started talking, and she wouldn't leave me alone, so we finally went on a date. And it was probably the other way, but, you know, she was way too good for me. But we started talking, and so she took me home to meet her parents. And so we go to her house, and I show up in my truck, and I go to meet her, and I go to the door, and she goes in, and her dad stops me at the door. Now, her dad is very soft-spoken, you know, just very good, strong man of God, and it must have been the Holy Spirit, because he stopped me at the door after she went in, and he said, you know, it'd be real good if you'd go to church with us this Sunday. That was his first thing he said to me. Now, I was not very smart back then, but I was smart enough to know it wasn't like a, hey, if you ever feel like it, you should go to church with us, or, you know, if it ever fits your schedule, you know, why don't you try coming to church with us? I was smart enough to know what he was really saying was, boy, if you ever want to see my daughter again, you'll get your tail to church this Sunday with us. And I said, yes, sir. And I went to church that Sunday. And I still remember just a few weeks into it, you know, I didn't know church. I didn't understand church, but I remember our pastor speaking a sermon. I don't even remember what it was about except for the love of God. And for some reason, her parents liked to sit in the balcony, so we were sitting in the balcony. And he did the message, and he did the altar call, and he did that first pastor thing, Pastor Doug, that I didn't know about yet. And it was the whole, if you want to accept Jesus, raise your hand. Ah, sure, yes, that's me. I need it. You know, I was feeling now what I know is conviction in my spirit. I raised my hand. So then he did that next pastor trick that I didn't know about. And he said, if you raised your hand, now you got to walk to the front. Wait a second. I got to come from the balcony all the way down that middle aisle in front of everybody. And I still remember the argument that I had with God that seemed like 30 minutes, right? It was the enemy telling me everybody's going to know your story. They're putting your story on the projector, right, of all your sins. I mean, this is all the stuff the enemy's convincing me of, that there's no reason. I'm not worthy of going down to that altar. It's not going to happen. But I still remember making that walk down to that altar and praying that prayer of forgiveness and accepting Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've never been the same since. I still remember the awe of that moment. So I gave my life to the Lord in an AG church, and 6 months later, we got engaged. I couldn't lose her at that point, right? I had the Lord, I had my beautiful woman, and so we got engaged. We were going to get married, and here's where it gets even better. So my mom, during this time, we were going to get married. I was engaged, and so she went and found my dad in California. And she told me, she said, I don't care if you want a relationship or not with your dad. She said, you're getting married. He's coming to the wedding. Yes, ma'am. Whatever you say. And she called my dad, found my dad out there. He was in California. He was not married. He was doing the same thing. And in the union, he was a welder. And she told him, she said, I don't care if you want a relationship with your son or not. You're coming to his wedding. He said, oh, okay, I'll be there. And so all of a sudden now my dad is back in my life. After 15 years of never knowing him, never contacting him, never having him there, and here's what I realized. I'm a new believer, and although that's not how I thought my story would go, I realized that God was writing a new chapter to my story, and that God was the story, that my story was a result of God's love for me. I was seeing God's love for me in action. And so here's what I want us to know today. Your story is the result of God's love for you. All of us can share testimonies and stories of how God's love has brought us through something or been there for something. And as God being the master storyteller, he's creating stories for our life. And here's what I want to say this morning. No matter what. Everybody say that with me. No matter what.
No matter what.
No matter what you've gone through up to this point in your life. No matter how good your life has been or how bad your life has been up to this point. Nothing. Everybody say nothing.
Nothing.
Hear me this morning. Nothing can separate us from the incredible, matchless love of God. It's incredible. God's love is amazing. He's the author of our stories. And here's the amazing thing about God is He has a history of turning our messes into masterpieces. He has a history of turning our tests and our trials into beautiful testimonies. He has a history of turning something that was meant for bad, my life was meant for bad, and making it great. God has the history of taking our brokenness and our poor choices and our sins and redeeming them and turning our lives around and forgiving us and making our stories for good. So maybe that's you today that you're wondering where you're at in life, or maybe there's somebody in your life. You know, we all have that family member that we think is just unreachable, unsavable, unlovable, or that coworker. Listen, God's love is incredible today. God's reach can reach into any part of anyone's life and pull them out of that. So here's a challenge I have for us today is to look at your story through a new set of lenses. So about a year ago, I started having some eye issues and just some vision things, and I've had perfect eyesight my whole life. And so my wife wears glasses, contacts, and I said, I need an eye doctor's appointment. So I went to an eye doctor, and they sit there, and they're like, and you got to answer all the questions. I'd not really gone through that before, and I did all that, and the doctor says, yeah, he goes, you're about to turn 40, aren't you? And I was like, well, actually, I just did. Yeah, and he goes, well, at 40, men's eyes, do this thing, and you lose your ability to focus and all these things. And I was like, oh, well, yeah, that's me. And so I had to get glasses. I don't have to wear them full time, but just certain times I have to wear glasses. But I can tell you, when I thought I had perfect sight and could see perfectly, when I put on those glasses for the first time, it was amazing how different things looked. I was like, wow, a new set of lenses changed how I seen different things. And so I think spiritually we have to do the same thing sometimes. We have to put on some spiritual lenses, and we have to see things the way God sees them, not the way we see them in the natural. When I pastored, I preached a message on the scripture about seeing things in the heavenlies, and I got some just fun glasses made up that had our church logo on, and they were those little cheap plastic, neon sunglasses. And I handed them out to everybody, and I said, from now on, when you're going through a difficult time, or, when you're saying, woe is me, and all these things, I said, get out those cheap little plastic sunglasses, and when you put them on, let that be a reminder that you need to look at it as how God sees it, and not how you see it. So I don't have any cheap sunglasses to give you today, but just use that as a reminder for you that recognizing God has a bigger plan and a clearer picture for our story than we could ever comprehend or understand. I could have never written my story the way God has written it. You could never write your story the way God is writing it today. And I'm convinced of this, that everything we go through, everything that happens to us, that God wants to use for His divine purposes. Now hear me today. I'm not saying God made everything happen, but God allows things to happen in our lives sometimes. But I'm also convinced of this, that God wants to use everything for a divine purpose. He wants to use it all for our good and for His good. So instead of feeling like a victim and everything and everyone is out against us and against you, and you can't catch a break, if we will look to God and trust in His plans and His purposes that He is writing for our story, I promise you, our perspective, our outlook will change. No matter where you are on this journey of life, God is not done yet. Aren't you thankful for that? God is not done yet. Some of you need to be reminded of that today. God is not done writing your story. God has a story planned for you. In Jeremiah 29:11, I love this scripture. It says, "For I know the plans I have for you. I know the plans I have for you," says the Lord. "They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." How many of you believe this promise from Scripture today? It's such an amazing promise, isn't it? That God knows our plans already He has for us. How many times do we get confused and frustrated and lost, wondering, God, what are the plans you have for me? God already knows them. It's just us getting in sync with those plans, right? And finding out His will for our lives. But those plans are good to give us a future and a hope. And I believe that God has good plans for us. But how many of you know we can get in the way of God's plans sometimes? We can get in the way. We can mess up those plans. We can get in the way of those things because of our choices, and those can lead to some disastrous consequences when we get in the way of God's plans. And it's because of those choices our stories can be interrupted. So here I am. My dad's back in my life. He attends our wedding. I think I have a picture of my dad. Yes, I was half the man I am now 21 years ago. I'm the one on the left. I'm just kidding. But that's my dad now. He comes from California to Tulsa to our wedding, and you know, we meet. We've been talking a little bit up to this point. We visited, and so where do we go from here? You know, where do we go? This is new territory for me. I've never been able to say my dad, right? I've never had my dad there to talk to about things. I was a new believer, but I still had hurt and disappointment from my past. And now having my dad in my life, I had to deal with those things, right? I mean, that hurt and disappointment didn't go away. If anything, it, you know, I had not really dealt with it for 15 years, and all of a sudden, here it is. And so what did I do? I went into protection mode, right? We put up walls. We put up barriers. I had to protect myself. You know, from any hurt. I had to protect my mom because I didn't know what was going to happen there. And then I had to protect my new wife from any future pain. I didn't want to bring all that mess into our new marriage. And, you know, what kind of drama was that going to cause? And so I went into protection mode. But let me just tell you this morning, I'm so proud to say that my dad and I have a great relationship today. We picked up like we didn't miss a day. He's there for me when I need him. He's supportive. He's proud of me. He loves me. He loves my wife. He loves his grandchildren so much. He's genuine. He's caring. I realize I have several characteristics and traits, and now I know where I got them from, you know, from my dad. I mean, just little things sometimes you realize you get from your family. But I'm thankful to God each and every day for bringing him back into my life. But here's the key. If you don't get anything else out of anything I've said today, if you get this down today, I promise you this will change your life. My dad and I couldn't have the relationship we have today unless there's one important thing that happened. And it's this: I chose to forgive him. I made a choice to forgive him. And can I tell you, when I chose to forgive him, there was no conditions. I didn't say, if you do this, I'll forgive you. There was no negotiations. There was no waiting for him to apologize first. Many times that's what we want to do before we forgive, right? If they'll apologize, if they'll make things right, if they'll show sorrow and regret for that situation, then we'll forgive. But I didn't wait for any of that. How many of you know I could have really held him over the fire for some things, right? I mean, I'm newly married. I got a new wife, you know. I mean, I could have made him pay for all those ball games he missed, for all those monumental times in a young man's life when he needed a father, for all those losers my mom's brought home, right, and him not being there to protect me. I mean, I could have just held him over all of that, but I chose to forgive him. And I chose to look ahead and not behind. And I tell you today, I couldn't have done that if it wasn't for Jesus Christ being my Lord and Savior. And knowing how he forgave me first. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31 and 32. How many of you read the Bible sometimes? And as you're reading through the Bible, you get to a scripture and you're like, yes, amen, that's good. I receive that. That's for me. You know what I'm talking about? You just read the Bible and it's so powerful and uplifting and positive. But if you read the whole Bible, sometimes you're going to get the scriptures that step on your toes. Oh, yeah. And you're going to get to a piece of it that makes you go, ouch, right? So this is that scripture for me. Verse 31 says, get rid of. Everybody say, get rid of.
Get rid of.
Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. How many of you know that pretty much covers everything there, right? All types of evil behavior. Get rid of it. So look at verse 32. It says, instead of doing all those things, be kind to each other. How many of you know that's good? We need that today especially, right? Tenderhearted. And then here's the ouch moment. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. You know, you alluded to it in communion about how simple it is to receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're usually the roadblock to accepting Jesus Christ because we get in the way of it, right? And we make it harder than it is. But if we just seek forgiveness and say a prayer and ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior, and we believe that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again for us, and we confess him as our Lord and Savior, the Bible says we are saved and we're forgiven. Isn't that amazing? Then we're promised a home in heaven, a mansion on a hilltop, streets paved with gold, no more drama, no more Facebook, right? All these things we're promised. I mean, it's amazing. what it takes for us to be forgiven. Yet I see it so much how we have trouble extending the same measure of forgiveness to those that hurt us. So this says to forgive the way Jesus forgave us. There was no negotiation. There was no conditions. He made it pretty simple, didn't he? And then he said, if anyone's in Christ, they're a new creation. So think about that today. I had to forgive the way Jesus Christ had forgiven me. So don't allow your story to be interrupted by your own ways. Give you one more thing this morning. God can change how your story ends. You know, the statistics are overwhelming. They really are. I'll share a few with you this morning. More than 20 million children live in a home without a father. 63% of youth who take their own lives are from fatherless homes. 90% of homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. 85% of children with behavior disorders are from fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 70% of youth in state institutions are from fatherless homes. They go on and on and on of the reality of the situation. 72% of, in a recent poll of U.S. population, feel that fatherlessness is the most significant family and social problem facing America. Think about it. Another study said if it were classified as a disease, fatherlessness would be an epidemic worthy of a national emergency. I mean, you think about it. Hollywood today, every movie that you look at, the key character has daddy issues, right? You look at sitcoms and shows, they don't give a very great profile of the father of the home, if there even is one. This is an epidemic that God is writing a story for, and God wants to do amazing things for. And I have every reason, I have every excuse to make decisions in my life that are not honoring to God. And all I had to do was blame it on my childhood. Blame it on not having a father. That's all I had to do. I see this so often as I counsel and I minister to young men who are hurt and who are broken, and they're lashing out at the world because their father wasn't there for them as a child. I see this so much. But can I tell you this morning, I refuse to be a statistic. I refuse to make the easy excuses. And I chose to break the generational mantle that was passed down to me. Some people use the term generational curse. It wasn't a curse because my family didn't know any better. It was a generational mantle. That was what they knew. I'm a first generation Christian in my family, much less a first generation minister. Think about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17, I alluded it to a moment ago, says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Listen to this. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. So the person you were in the past does not dictate your future story. My past doesn't dictate who I am today. Because I have a relationship with Christ, my past is past. Somebody needs to say that with me today. My past is past. It's in the past. Quit dragging it around with you today. It's gone. It's past. You need to let it go. I won't sing the Frozen song this morning. Let it go. But let it go. Let it go. My kids will sing it for me. Let the past be past. If you're in Christ today, you are a new creation. Your old life is gone. Make a choice today to live out the life God has for you now. You don't have to be a statistic. You don't have to be like your father. You don't have to be defined by your past. If you're in Christ, all things are new. And I stand here before you today as a living and breathing testimony of what only God can do. You know, my wife and I use those two words a lot, only God. Because we've seen God show up in so many ways in our lives that it's only God. We can't take any credit for it. Only God. I came from brokenness. I should be one of those statistics, but I'm not. Because only God can turn my life around. Only God can now use me to be a minister of the gospel. Only God can help me be a godly husband for 21 years and a godly father to four beautiful children when I had no godly example of a husband or a father growing up in my life. Only God. Only God. Say that with me. Only God. Only God. How many of you believe him for some only God moments in your life today? Only God. So God can and will change how your story ends. Not only do I have a great relationship with my dad today, but as Paul Harvey used to say, here's the rest of the story. So I got married. I moved out. I'm building a relationship with my father. Well, in the meantime, my mom also started communicating with my father. And after 3 years after my father and I reunited, my mom and dad got back together. And now they've been happily remarried for 16 years. You believe that today? Only God. How many of you know only God? Wow. Only God can restore and reconcile my family back together. Only God can use our story now to be His story to help encourage marriages and families today. You know, my mom, you know how I told you that I didn't make my dad pay for all those years of not being there? I can't say the same for my mom. I'm just teasing. I tease her about that all the time. They just retired into an active community in California. She moved back out there with him, and they RV around the country, and they're just living a great life. And it's so cool to be able to say my parents. I mean, just the little stuff, you know. Growing up, I could never say, my mom and dad are coming. Or, let me call my mom and dad. Or, you know, just things like that. Now I get to do that. I mean, I still pinch myself. Just realize that I know it's been 16 years. But only God can restore our family. There's a picture of all of us together as one big family at the most expensive place. I'm sorry, the happiest place on earth, Disney World, a couple years ago. Yeah, that's Nana and Papa. You see your picture there, huh? Listen to me this morning as I wrap this up. God is working His good, pleasing, and perfect plan for your life in a thousand ways you're not even aware of. I had no idea that God was using all these steps and pieces in my story to write the story that He's writing today. Everything in your past is preparation for something in your future. God doesn't waste anything. Even when you're having a setback or a difficult time in your life, God is preparing your comeback story. The God who works all things together for good will leverage every experience, every skill, every mistake, and every choice you have acquired. And here's how I want to close today. If God's done something to your story, for your story, tell His story. How many of you know today people need to hear the story of God? Yes. You don't have to turn on the news very long to know that we've got some father issues in our nation. Fatherlessness issues in our nation. People are lashing out and hurting. They're looking for a place to belong. They're looking for a place to blame, right? We need to tell God's story. When God gives your story a new start, we need to tell others about it and invite others to restart their story over with Christ. Listen, there are incredible benefits that come with being a new creation. I mentioned those earlier. We're forgiven. We're promised a home in heaven. But listen, it also comes with an incredible responsibility, right? We can't just use our faith as an in case of fire, pull here emergency when we need it, right? It comes with great responsibility to live it out. Live out our faith every day so people see that we are all ministers. We're all ministers in our circles of influence wherever God puts us. So I want to pray this morning as we end this time together. Maybe God is speaking to you through this message. Or I'm not unaware of the fact that this day can also be difficult for people. Maybe you, like me, had a difficult childhood without a father, or maybe your relationship with your father wasn't great. Maybe you've lost your father, and today is difficult. I'm certainly aware that these days like this that we talk about are not always the easiest days or the most joyful days for people because of life. So maybe you're struggling with this topic today, and I'll tell you this morning, one of the bad concepts I had to work through in my faith is I accepted God as my Savior, right? I knew I needed saved from my sin. But then we started using this terminology about God being our Heavenly Father. And so immediately my emotions went to the brokenness with my earthly father, and I tried to put that same profile on the Heavenly Father, and I had to work through that in my own faith because I quickly learned there was no comparison from my earthly father to my Heavenly Father. But I understand sometimes we do that. We limit God the Father because of whatever did or didn't happen with our earthly father. So let me just share this last thing. God not only provided my biological father back in my life that I have a great relationship with back today, but remember the dad who stopped me at the door and told me I better go to church? Well, he's my father-in-law today. He has three daughters. I was his first son, and I call him dad today. He adopted me like a son, and we have a great relationship. So I got my biological father. I got a father-in-law who's like a father to me. You remember the time I went down to the altar and gave my life to Jesus Christ? That pastor by the name of Don Couch became my spiritual father. We had a service one time with a guest minister. I was brand new to my faith, and he called me down to the front just speaking prophetically, and he had me give a hug to Pastor Couch. And when we gave that embrace, he gave a prophetic word over us that he was going to become a spiritual father to me to provide the spiritual spiritual fatherness that I needed in my life. So I went from having zero fathers to my biological father, a father-in-law who's like a father, and a spiritual father who's like a father to me. How many know that's the exceedingly abundantly God that we serve? That's what God wants to do in your life. He doesn't want to just barely get you by with whatever you need today. He's the God who can do more than you could ever think or imagine in your wildest dreams. And I think this, the greatest lie the enemy tells us today is that we're disqualified because of something in our past. Can I tell you that couldn't be the farthest from the truth today? The idea that somehow going through some stuff makes you less worthy, that's wrong. Some of you have a call of God on your life to do something, but you think you're disqualified because of something that's happened in your past. Can I tell you, God is here today to remind you that His hand is upon your life. I think sometimes we bring that stuff on ourselves, but the lessons we learn and the ways we grow can now be given to others to bless their lives. Can I tell you today, your story is a gift. It's a gift to the body of Christ. If you give honor to God for your story, share it. There may be someone who is teetering on the edge of giving up, and your story, your exact story, is what they need to give them hope to move forward another day. You know, I was never very good at telling my story until just a few years ago. I was embarrassed a little bit about it. I didn't know how to communicate it. And now after I started telling my story, you know how many times my story encourages someone else who's going through something so similar? Listen, God knows how to uniquely align you with somebody who needs to hear your story. You don't have to have 3 points and a sermon and a closing and all that. Just tell your story. Tell your testimony of what God has done for you, and I promise it'll bless and encourage someone. Don't keep it to yourself today. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for my story that I get to share today. God, thank you for writing it in such an amazing and incredible and awesome way, God, that I know only you can do. God, I'm overwhelmed by the only God moments you've had in my life. But God, I know they weren't just for me. God, I believe you're using my story, my testimony, to be an encouragement to others today. And God, I pray that even if it was for one today, it was for a purpose here at Vision Church. God, I pray for every person in this room today, God, that maybe is a difficult day for them as we talk about fathers. For whatever reason, God, I believe you are the healer today. You are the comforter today, God. You can minister to them right where they're hurting, right where they're confused, right where they're torn. God, right where they're asking questions, God, you can meet them right where they are in this very room today, I pray. God, I pray for those today that are struggling with forgiveness, of letting it go, of putting their past behind them. God, I pray today, God, that today would be the day they choose to forgive that person for the hurt they did. Well, preacher, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't, but God does. God sees your hurt, your pain, your brokenness, and He wants to restore and mend and heal and take back everything the enemy has tried to steal from you in your life. Choose to forgive today. Maybe you're here today and you've not been forgiven. You've not repented of your sins. You've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and you've not made the greatest choice you can make today, and that's to choose Him as your Lord and Savior. Can I tell you, today is your day. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of breakthrough. Today is the day of victory in your life. With every head bowed and eye closed for just a moment, if you'll just say, Robert, one of those things you mentioned today are for prayer, that's me. I need to forgive. I need to be forgiven. I've got some stuff in my life I need to deal with. God, would you just slip up your hand right where you are? I'm just going to pray with you today. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, sir. Thank you, sir. Several hands. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your courage today to raise your hands. God is wanting to meet you here today in this place. Anybody else today? I just want to pray with you in agreement. Thank you, sir. Thank you, God. Thank you, ma'am. God, you see every one of these stories today. God, you see every detail of their journey. God, you see exactly what it is that they're going through today. You know the past. You know the history. And God, I know today that you're writing a new chapter to their story. that God, whatever it is today that needs to bring that breakthrough and victory, God, do it now in this moment. God, I sense your Holy Spirit is here in this place today. Your presence is so strong. God, I pray you minister to there was at least 8 hands that went up today in this place. God, you know their story. God, they don't need to delay it anymore, God. You are here. You are here. You are here to meet them right where they are. So God, I pray for the hurt, that you would turn it into joy. I pray for the brokenness, that you would bring healing. God, I pray for the families that are broken. I pray for that one who hasn't spoken to their father in years because of the hurt. God, I pray today they choose to forgive. And you'll begin a path and a story of reconciliation of that family. I pray for the one who had the difficult childhood like I did, that was divorce and brokenness and not knowing their father. God, I pray that you would send somebody to be their spiritual father. Maybe it's not able to restore their earthly biological father relationship, but God, you can send somebody to be their spiritual father, to put your arm around them, to love them, to be there for them, to replace that void they have in their heart like you did for me. And God, no matter what it is today, I pray for some only God moments in this place. Moments that we can't take any credit for, moments that we can't say we were in the right place at the right time, or we prayed the right prayer, or we put the right amount of money in the offering. None of that today. That we'll just step back in awe and say, only God did it. And only God gets all the glory for it. So God, bless every heart, every life today. God, thank you for the fathers today in this room. Help us all to be better godly fathers. Help us to be spiritual fathers to other young men. Help us, God, to see that you're not done writing our stories yet, and you still have great and amazing plans for our life, I pray. And we give you all the glory and the honor for it in the mighty name of Jesus. We all say, amen. Amen. Pastor, thank you.
Amen. I love how the Lord just puts stuff together, don't you? As Maxwell and I were working back here, taking the old lumber and using it in the new project, time after time after time after time, isn't this true, Maxwell? We'd cut a board, use it in one spot, and the remaining piece would fit perfectly somewhere else. We were able to build this without purchasing any additional lumber. Back here, just time after time after time, something that I was talking with Pastor Steve about was this summer, because he mentioned this was in the Wise and Wonderful last week, wasn't it, Pastor Steve? This idea of our story and getting ready to share our faith. And so somehow we're going to use this kind of as a capstone and a foundation. As we go through the rest of the summer, I want you to say, this is my story. And this is just, I love how the Lord's put this together. It's been on a calendar almost for a year. And I may steal graphics or come up with some other graphics. These may be free, public domain. We're not going to steal his story, but we're going to use this. You're going to see this a lot. And I want you to be thinking about, what is my story? See, very often we're sitting here saying, Lord couldn't use my story to save anybody. Are you kidding me? He can use your story to save a million people. Your story. It doesn't have to be spectacular, way out and extravagant. It can be just the plain vanilla story of your life. And when it's shared, it can make a transformation difference. So I just want to encourage you. I want to encourage you. That just fits right into what the Lord's timetable is for Vision Church. The Lord's up to something here at Vision Church. He's coordinating some pieces from all the way down in Maypearl, Texas. And this is a great Father's Day. Don't we have a wonderful, loving Heavenly Father? So I just want to pray a blessing over you and we'll be dismissed. Lord, you're our Heavenly Father. We look to you. You're our example as a Father. You are our Father. And we want to embrace you and be embraced by you. We thank you for this day that we can celebrate and a day that also tells us how far we need to go and how much needs to be done. But it's all possible by your grace and for your glory. So we ask your grace and your peace upon each one as we go from this place in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. The Lord bless you. We'll see you again next week here. But there are some people online that they can also be back with Wise and Wonderful True Seekers on Tuesday night, which is happening on location and being broadcast. and other features of devotions. You don't want to miss it. The Lord bless you. Have a great day.